Let God transform your life as you listen to this inspiring sermon by Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb.
Brian Gita was sick. First, he'd been infected with a foodborne illness that required him to receive 3 injections every day. But as his fever spiked and the pain in his joints increased, Brian suspected he was also suffering from malaria. So in spite of the fact that he'd already been pricked by a needle more times than he could remember, Brian went back to the clinic for a malaria test. The nurse drew his blood with a needle and syringe. But to his surprise, Brian's malaria test came back negative. In fact, it took 3 more tests with 3 more needles drawing blood before doctors were able to make the correct diagnosis. Brian did indeed have malaria. By the time the doctors started treating him for malaria, Brian's arms and fingers looked like a pin cushion. There has to be a better way to fight malaria, Brian thought. And what about all the people in rural areas who are outside the reach of health clinics? So, Brian set out to solve the problem that he and millions of others face. He joined forces with his friend Joshua Businga to come up with a way to detect malaria without the need for doctors, nurses, or technicians, and without the need for drawing blood with a needle. Thus, in 2013, Brian Gita developed Matibabu, the first smartphone-based diagnosis system for malaria. Brian's invention allows anyone, anywhere, to test for malaria without drawing blood. As a result, Brian became the youngest person ever to receive the prestigious Africa Prize from the Royal Academy of Engineering in the UK. He and his team also became the first Africans to win the Imagine Cup from Microsoft. There's a powerful lesson for all of us in the inspiring true story of Brian Gita. For the fact is, the difficulties Brian faced may have been unpleasant, but they also opened the door for a new opportunity. Brian could have allowed his problem to keep him down. He could have simply accepted the way things were and done nothing to solve a problem. But Brian learned something we all need to learn today. Oftentimes, our greatest breakthroughs come about as a result of our greatest breakdowns. Our biggest comebacks come after our biggest setbacks. And when we put our trust in the Lord, every closed door can become an open door of progress. That's the message in our sermon today. We're going to look at the story of a man who faced a closed door, but in the presence of Jesus, his life was turned around. But before we find out more, let us pray. Almighty and everlasting Father, we thank you and praise you for your power and presence available to us today. We are in an atmosphere of the miraculous. As your word comes, release healing, deliverance, provision, and every blessing that we need today. As your promises come and as your truth comes, help us to align with your spirit and your kingdom principles that we might break through every closed door. We submit to you now, we bind every voice of the enemy that would come to deceive or disturb or distract us. And in the name of the Lord Jesus, I loose the power of the Holy Spirit to minister light and life and truth and love to every heart listening and watching today by the power of your Holy Spirit, that at the end of the day, your name will be glorified and our lives will break through closed doors. We thank you by faith in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I invite you to take a moment, join your faith with mine right now. Put your hand on your chest and say after me, Lord Jesus, speak to my heart. Change my life. Manifest your glory in me in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to today's broadcast. It's great to have you join with me to receive God's word for today. I believe the Lord is going to minister to you in a mighty way as we continue our sermon series titled Breakthrough. As we draw near to the end of the year, God is calling us to draw near to Him in faith and respond to His truth. For the fact is, no matter what has happened to you in 2020, God is still in control. Nothing that has happened has taken God by surprise. He still rules and reigns in the universe. And when you commit your life to Him and follow His ways, He's going to work all things for good in your life. If you believe it, shout hallelujah. That's why I'm excited to share the Word of God with you today in a sermon titled Breakthrough, Closed Doors. God has a breakthrough in store for you. And as you align with His truth, He's going to open doors for you. He's going to take you through the door to more. Our scripture text for today is found in the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. Now receive the word of the Lord. When Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. Soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room, even outside the door. While he was preaching God's word to them, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, so they dug a hole through the roof above his head. Hey! Then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "My child, your sins are forgiven." But some of the teachers of religious law who were sitting there thought to themselves, "What is he saying? This is blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins." Jesus knew immediately what they were thinking. So he asked them, "Why do you question this in your hearts? Is it easier to say to the paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or 'Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk'? So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins." Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and go home." And the man jumped up, grabbed his mat, and walked out through the stunned onlookers. They were all amazed and praised God, exclaiming, "We've never seen anything like this before." Everyone say that last sentence together out loud with me. We've never seen anything like this before. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to your hearts in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I love this story. Inside these verses, we see so many wonderful lessons and we receive so much inspiration. There are truths about persistent faith and victory in the face of opposition and God's miracle power. Yet there's even more than that in this story. God has something deeper for all of us today. For in this story, we discover the three stages to break through closed doors. No matter what doors have been closed to you this year, God is going to guide you today to break through those closed doors and discover the door to more. That's what happened to the man in our story. But the funny thing is, it doesn't look that at first. At first, it seems like a no-go. At first, it seems like another disappointment. The friends bring the lame man to the house where Jesus is, and they can't get in. And maybe you've experienced that before. You came for a breakthrough, but you got blocked. You came for a miracle, but you got stopped by the multitude. But the fact is, there's a lesson for all of us in this man's story. The trouble he faces gives us a roadmap to get through to the other side. So let's discover the three stages to break through closed doors. And here's the first stage to break through closed doors: the door of denial. Listen again to how our story begins in Mark 2:2. The house where he was staying was so packed with visitors, there was no more room even outside the door. So picture the scene with me. The four friends have carried the lame man all the way from his house to where Jesus is. They're excited. They're full of faith. But when they get there, there's no way in. The crowd is so huge, they can't even get to the door. They've come to meet the door of denial. Have you ever faced the door of denial? Have you ever had high hopes only to have your expectation shattered? Maybe you started dating a guy and it looks really promising. You have high hopes. You start dreaming of your dream wedding. But then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he ghosts you. Your heart is broken. Your dream wedding is a nightmare and the door to your future slams shut. Or maybe you're looking for a job. You finally get called for an interview at a top-rate company. You're so excited. You get dressed up. You fast and pray. You do your best, and it goes really, really well. You're confident. This is it. And then a week goes by, and then 2 weeks and 3 weeks, and there's no call, no offer, nothing but silence. And suddenly you realize they picked someone else. We've all had doors slammed shut. We have all faced the door of denial. But here's what we all need to learn from this story. God's path to progress is not always plain. The opening for your breakthrough is not always obvious. The door of denial looked like the end of the road. But with God, there's never an end to the road. His path to progress is not always plain, but He always has a path. There's always a way with God. But we're often in danger of missing God's way because we don't recognize how God moves. We don't realize that God uses the common and the ordinary. God uses things that we don't expect to do the unexpected in our lives. He uses the plain and simple, the common and powerless to remind us that He is the one working in our midst. That's why Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 1, 26 to 28, "Remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in the world's eyes, or powerful, or wealthy when God called you. Instead, God chose things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. And He chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. God chose things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and used them to bring to nothing what the world considers important." That's the lesson Moses learned. Moses was raised in Pharaoh's household with all the knowledge and the wealth of Egypt. But it wasn't his education or his wealth or military might or upbringing that God would use to deliver His people. His calling came clothed in the common. God confirmed Moses' call by using the shepherd's staff in his hand. The ordinary shepherd's staff was God's sign of promise and authority. God disguised Moses' destiny in the simple and ordinary. And Moses is not alone. God called a fearful man named Gideon and declared him to be a mighty warrior. God called ordinary fishermen and made them apostles. God called a teenage girl named Mary and made her the mother of our Lord. And God disguised His eternal salvation in the form of a baby born in a manger. So here's what you need to remember when you come to the door of denial. The door to your destiny is often disguised. What looks like denial is often God's detour to your destiny. That's what happened with David. David was a common shepherd boy. He didn't set out looking for greatness. He didn't leave his sheep to go in search of Goliath. When David went to the war front, he was simply taking bread to his brothers. His father gave him a task, and David obeyed. See, David didn't plan on fighting Goliath. It wasn't a career move. The Bible tells us that when Israel went to war with the Philistines, David was denied the opportunity to go to battle. All of his older brothers went out as soldiers, but David was denied. He was told to stay behind and tend to the sheep. But one day, David's father, Jesse, told David to take some provisions to his brothers who were fighting on the front lines of the battle. So David went in simple obedience to his father. He wasn't going to fight a giant. He didn't know he was going to launch his destiny. He was doing his daily duty, taking provisions to his brothers. But when David got to the battlefield, he heard Goliath shouting threats to the soldiers of Israel. He saw Goliath taunting the people of God, and his spirit rose up. He grabbed his sling, he grabbed some stones, and he went out to face the giant. And David found his destiny disguised as daily duty. Reward dresses as responsibility. God isn't going to put the reward right in front of you. He's going to give you responsibility that will lead to reward. David didn't know Goliath was waiting for him on the battlefield. He only knew he had bread to deliver from his father to his brothers. So he went dutifully on his way to deliver bread in obedience to his dad. And as he fulfilled his responsibility, the opportunity came for him to become a giant killer. His reward was unlocked as he faithfully obeyed. A lot of people today are looking for their giant to slay as they pursue greatness and reward. But if you'll be faithful where you are, God will bring the reward your way in His time. And the door of denial that faced David when his brothers went to battle actually provided the opportunity for another door for David. The door to his destiny was disguised, but it was still there. And God was testing David. And so I say to you today, could it be that the way that seems closed to you now is really God redirecting you to a place where you will end up in the center of the room, right at the feet of Jesus? Could it be that the door of denial facing you is God's way of building your determination till he brings you to the place where you receive more than you ask for? For the truth is, when God wants to give you more, God first gives you a test. That's the lesson we can learn from the true story of Sarah Blakely. Sarah Blakely is the founder of Spanx. She's a self-made billionaire. In fact, Forbes magazine named her the youngest self-made female billionaire ever. But before that, Sarah Blakely had plenty of closed doors. In fact, she learned how to handle the door of denial and turned it into a strength. Originally, Sarah wanted to be a lawyer, but she failed the entrance exam for law school. Then she tried her hand at entertainment, but quickly got rejected in that arena too. So Sarah embarked on a career in sales. For 7 years, she sold fax machines from door to door. Listen to what she said. "I was constantly being escorted out of buildings," Sarah recalls. "People would rip up my business card in my face. But I knew that no was just a part of the process. And learning to handle all the closed doors was simply a process Sarah passed through that prepared her for her breakthrough. Thus, when she started her own company in 2000, the door of progress opened rapidly. Just 2 years after inventing Spanx, Sarah's product was featured on Oprah. Her product soon became a worldwide phenomenon, and Sarah Blakely became a billionaire. So here's the truth you need to pack up and take home with you today. You may not see what God is doing, but he sees it all plainly. His path to your progress may not be plain to you, but God knows the road he's taking you on. And he allows us to encounter the door of denial for our own good. He closes doors so that he can open horizons. That's the lesson we can learn from the story of Lazarus. In the Gospel of John chapter 11, Lazarus is sick. His sisters Mary and Martha send an urgent message to Jesus. "Come and heal him now," they say. But listen to what the Bible says in verses 4 to 6. When Jesus heard about it, he said, "Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. No, it happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will receive glory from this." So although Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days. Even though Jesus loved them, he denied their first request. And because of that, Lazarus died. But you see, Jesus wanted to give them more than they asked for. They asked for healing, but Jesus wanted to give them resurrection. So he did not heal Lazarus, but rather allowed him to die so that the greater miracle of resurrection would be seen in his life. And here's what God is saying to you today. If you'll press on, you'll see the glory of God in your life. Don't settle for less. Don't stop at the door of denial. And that brings us to the second stage, to break through closed doors. We come to the door of determination. Listen to how these four friends reacted to the closed door in front of them. In Mark 2:4, the Bible says, they couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd. So they dug a hole through the roof above his head. These men knew that the door of denial wasn't the end of the road. They didn't stop. They would not be denied. You see, these four friends could have given up, but they'd come too far to stop now. The man was heavy, and they didn't want to carry him all the way back home. So they climbed up to the roof and broke a hole and let him down through the hole. And just like these men, you've come too far to turn back now. You've got to keep on pressing. The door of denial is only a temporary setback. If you won't give up, God will turn your setback into a comeback. God can take that tombstone and make it a stepping stone. God can take you higher than you've ever been before. Satan wants to put you down, but my God wants to lift you up. And there is nothing too hard for God. So do not give up. Do not quit. Do not back down. The victory is not for the faint-hearted. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 11:12, and from the days of John the Baptist till now, the kingdom of God is forcing its way in, and men of force take it. Friend, no one said following Jesus would be easy. Jesus himself laid out the cost plainly for you to see. He told us you would be tested. In Mark 9:49, he said, for everyone will be tested with fire. Jesus told us we would face life like a soldier. We would have to do battle. For 2 Timothy 2:3, the Bible says, share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. He told us we would have to take up our cross and deny ourselves to follow him. For in Luke 9:23, Jesus said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. Jesus told us it wouldn't be easy. He told us we would face opposition. For in John 15:19-21, he said, if you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That's why the world hates you. Remember what I told you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. So do not be surprised when you face opposition. Jesus told you it was coming. That's what happened to this paralyzed man. Even though his friends were determined, he still faced the test of opposition. When this lame man was lowered into the room where Jesus was, the men in the room opposed him. They didn't want him to get healed. They did not want him to get up. They did not want him to get ahead. They didn't think he deserved it. He was in the presence of Jesus, but the crowd opposed him. So understand today that the opposition you face is not a sign that something is wrong. In fact, anytime you're serving God, you will be opposed. Anytime you're moving forward in Christ, you will be opposed. The fact is, the reason the devil is fighting you so much is because God is getting ready to do so much. If you were not a threat to the enemy, he wouldn't bother to fight you. So here's the truth you need to put on your keychain and carry along with you today. Opportunity always results in opposition. The greater the opportunity, the more the opposition. That's what we learn from the Apostle Paul. Listen to what he wrote in 1 Corinthians 16:8-9. I will stay on at Ephesus until Pentecost because a great door for effective work has opened to me and there are many who oppose me. In other words, great opportunity and a great open door resulted in great opposition. So don't lose heart when there are many who oppose you. A great door for effective work has opened for you. See, the more the crowd opposed the paralyzed man, the more determined Jesus was to bless him. And the more opposition you face, the more determined God will be to bless you. Don't listen to your haters. Keep looking to Jesus. Don't listen to your critics. Keep listening to Jesus. Don't grow weak at the door of determination. Don't be troubled by the opposition. Press on in faith. For the fact is, great men and women were people who not only possessed great talent and ability, but they also possessed great determination. That's the lesson we can learn from the story of Michael Jordan. During his basketball career, Michael Jordan scored 32,292 points. He earned 6 NBA championships and 5 NBA MVP titles. He made it to 14 All-Star game appearances. He is, by acclamation, one of the greatest basketball players to ever grace the court. But before he became famous, Michael Jordan had to become determined. See, way back in 1978, Michael Jordan was just another kid in the gym, along with 50 or so of his classmates. When he tried out for the senior secondary school varsity basketball team, there were only 15 open spots on the team. Jordan was then a 15-year-old sophomore who was only 5'10 and could not yet dunk a basketball. And he did not get a spot on the team. It was embarrassing not to make the team, Jordan later said. He went home, locked himself in his bedroom, and cried. But then Michael Jordan picked himself up and turned the door of denial into a door of determination. Whenever I was working out and got tired and figured I ought to stop, Michael Jordan said, I'd close my eyes and see that list on the locker room without my name on it. That usually got me going again. And before long, Jordan was making an impact. He eventually got chosen for his school team and began a career that led him to become one of the greatest basketball players ever. Right now, you may be in a big battle. You may be at the door of denial. You may feel unwelcome, unwanted, and unsuccessful. But if you don't quit, God is going to take your big battle and turn it around and make it your biggest blessing. One day, your test is going to be your greatest testimony because God is going to turn it around for you. For here's the truth you need to pack up and take home with you. When God sees your determination, you'll see his breakthrough. Jesus never said it would be easy, but he also promised us that we would be blessed when we overcome. That's why James 1:12 says, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. He promised us we would be rewarded when we don't give up. That's why you cannot faint at the door of determination. You have to press on. You have to keep going, keep believing, keep seeking God. He will respond to you. He will see your faith and answer you. He will give you more than what you ask for. So hear the word of the Lord to you from Hosea 6:3. Oh, that we might know the Lord. Let us press on to know him. He will respond to us as surely as the arrival of dawn or the coming of rains in early spring. And I say to you today, press on to know the Lord. He's the door of deliverance. And that brings us to the third stage of breaking through closed doors, the door of deliverance. Our story comes to a remarkable end in verses 10 to 12. Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. And the man jumped up, grabbed his mat, and walked out through the stunned onlookers. See, when this man got forgiven and healed, he carried out what carried him in. He didn't just get healed. His whole life was overturned for the glory of God. And think about what happened to the paralyzed man before he got up and walked. Jesus forgave him first, then healed him second. The man got a double blessing. He got more than he asked for. He asked to be healed, but when he met Jesus, he got a whole new life. The man came looking for healing, but when he met Jesus, he got a whole new life. He came for healing, but he got elevated in the presence of his enemies. He came for a miracle, but he got more than what he asked for. See, the fact is, this man thought all he needed was healing, but Jesus knew he needed forgiveness too. Jesus knew that his healing wouldn't help him if he was still bound with sin. Jesus knew that the freedom from bondage was better than the freedom from sickness. See, some people get healed, but they never pick up their mat and go home. Some people get an answer, but the answer never gets into them. Sometimes we get rid of a problem, but we don't really get free. But God doesn't just want to deliver you externally. He wants to deliver you internally. He wants you to find freedom in every area of your life as you draw near to him. See, the fact is, Jesus himself is the door of deliverance. That's why in John 10:9 he said, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. And I'm here to declare to you that he is the resurrection and the life. When you get with Jesus, you get resurrection power. He's the door to resurrect your dreams. He's the door to revive your destiny. He's the door to give you not just what you ask for, but what you need. He is the door to more. And when you come to Jesus, the door, you'll walk out in victory in front of the enemies who doubted you. When God sees the opposition against you, he will come to defend you. He's coming to lift you up in the presence of your enemies. The haters tried to stop you, but God says, I'm opening a door for you, and you will walk out in freedom and in victory and in the presence of those who denied you entrance. The people who try to stop you will watch in wonder and amazement as God elevates you. The people who said, she can't come in here, will see you break through the door that was closed. The fact is, the crowd is not always your friend. When everyone is clapping for you, the applause can build your self-sufficiency. But when you have critics, you learn to lean into the Lord Jesus Christ. When people are opposing you and attacking you and telling you, you can't come in here, and denying you and doubting you, then you have nowhere else to go but to turn to God. So here's the truth you need to pack up and take home with you today. God wants to do something in you before he does something for you. That's the lesson we can learn from the true story of the former Prime Minister of England, Sir Winston Churchill. In December 1931, Winston Churchill lay in a hospital bed in New York City, wondering if he would ever recover. Just a few years earlier, Churchill was on top of the world. He'd made a series of financial deals that netted him a huge sum of money. In fact, he was so wealthy, he'd written to his wife, telling her that they were now financially secure for life. On top of that, Churchill had entered politics and had started rising to the top of his nation's government. He'd been widely viewed as a future leader and anticipated adding great power to his great fortune. But suddenly, in the midst of this prosperous and successful period of time, things started to fall apart. Churchill's life got off track, and in the space of just 2 years, he tumbled from wealth and power to despair and weakness. First, he made some bad financial decisions that wiped out his vast wealth overnight. Then friends he had supported drove him from political power. Friends stopped calling him. People shunned him. The news media criticized him. And finally, while facing financial ruin and political exile, Winston Churchill suffered physical disaster. As he started to cross a street in New York City, he was hit by a taxi going at full speed. His broken body was rushed to a hospital where he lay hanging on to life by a thread. Things seemed absolutely hopeless. Churchill had suffered three devastating losses in a period of a few short years. At the age of 57, it seemed impossible for him to come back from such misfortune. He was too old to make his money back, too isolated to get his power back, too broken to get his health back. He told his wife, "I don't know if I can ever completely recover from these three events." But Churchill knew something that we all need to know today. Sometimes the most important element in success is not how you start or how you progress, but how you finish. If you're going to succeed in life, you can't quit at the door of denial. You can't quit at the door of determination. Winners never quit, and quitters never win. So Churchill didn't give up. He struggled to regain his health and was finally discharged from the hospital and able to go back to work. He worked tirelessly to restore his fortune and was able once again to give his family financial security. And he refused to give up on his political career. He made a decision that no matter how far behind he had fallen, he would never give up, never quit, never surrender. And the result of Churchill's determination is that he eventually rose to the top of his government, becoming Prime Minister of England in 1939. He successfully led his nation to victory in World War II and became one of the best known statesmen of all time. In fact, 12 years ago, he was voted the greatest Briton of all time by his countrymen. In his adversity, determination was birthed in Winston Churchill that led him to be the leader who would bring deliverance to Britain. In God's time, he walked through the door of deliverance for himself and his people. Have you faced adversity this year? It may be your business didn't do as well as you planned. Maybe the pandemic shut you down. Maybe your education took a detour and eventually you dropped out of school. Or perhaps your setback was in an area of relationships. But no matter what disappointment you faced, perhaps you're here today feeling disillusioned about your chances and wondering how things can recover. But the good news for all of us is this: no matter what has occurred in 2020, we can all finish the year well. Don't quit at the door of denial. Don't lose heart at the door of determination. Let God work in you, for He has a door of deliverance that no man can shut. That's why the Bible says in Revelation 3:7, what He opens, no one can close, and what He closes, no one can open. You see, when it's not God's door, you can't force it open. But when it is God's door, you can't keep it shut. God always gives the best to those who leave the choice up to Him. So open up your heart right now and receive this word of promise for you today. God has an open door for you. It's a door to take you higher. If you will look to Him, you will see it. For Revelation 4:1 says, then as I looked, I saw a door standing open in heaven, and the same voice I had heard before spoke to me like a trumpet blast. The voice said, come up here, and I will show you what must happen after this. Look to Jesus right now for His open door of deliverance. And when you do, you will break through closed doors. Let me pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift up everyone watching and listening who's facing a closed door. Everyone at the door of denial right now. Father, I pray You'll fill their heart with faith and give them vision to understand that this is just a detour to get them to their destiny. Lord, I pray for everyone struggling at the door of determination. They feel like giving up. They're facing opposition. They don't know where to turn. They're so discouraged right now. Father, come and anoint them. Come and fill them with the power of Your Spirit. Come and give them a determination never to give up. And Lord, I pray You will open for every one of us a door of deliverance, a door to more, a door at the end of this year that will usher us in to a greater faith, a greater anointing, a greater power, a greater relationship with You, a greater love, a greater destiny than we could dream of or imagine on our own. I thank You by faith that You are touching and blessing each and every one watching and listening right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And I bless them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. The hope
of nations. God bless you for listening to this message. Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb is the senior pastor of Agape House New Testament Church in East Lagos. If you are ever in Accra, we would like you to worship with us on Saturday night at 6 p.m. or on Sunday at 7:30, 9:30, or 11:30 a.m. You will have an awesome experience. We're heroes in